Today's shir is Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Yesterday we had learned a machlaikus, a three-way machlaikus between Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon regarding somebody rinsing his body on Shabbos. Reb Meir held that you were not allowed to rinse not with hot water nor with cold water. Reb Shimon held you are allowed to do both hot water and cold water. And Reb Yehuda said chamin is usur, cold water tzaynin is mutter. So the Gemara now says, what is the halacha? Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Reb Yochanan, halacha Reb Yehuda. The halacha is like Reb Yehuda, that you're not allowed to rinse yourself with hot water, but it is mutter with cold water. Amalei Reb Yosef. So Reb Yosef said to Rabbi Babachana, "Beferish mi'loch, this that you're telling me that the halacha is like Reb Yehuda. Did you hear that beferish that Chazal paskin like Reb Yehuda, or mechlolish mi'loch, or did you only extrapolate it from something else that you heard, and based on that ruling, you said that the halacha is like Reb Yehuda?" So the Gemara wants to identify what would have been the rule which wasn't directly related to our Shaila, from which he might have extrapolated that the halacha is like Reb Yehuda. My klola, what is that rule that he's referring to? Says the Gemara, Domer of Tanchum, Amr Reb Yochanan, Amr Reb Yanai, Amr Rebbe, Kol Makom Shatam Moitzi Shnei Chalukim, wherever you find two Tanoim arguing, Echad Machriya, and the third Tana is a mediator, he's right in between these two Tanoim, Halacha Kedivar Machriya. The halacha always follows that opinion. And like Rashi on Daf Mem Amud Aleph explains, the reasoning is simple. Let's use our Gemara as the example. Our Gemara, as we started, has Reb Meir saying that you're not allowed to use hot water or cold water to rinse yourself. Now, Reb Shimon, holds that you're allowed to use both hot water and cold water. Reb Yehuda agrees with Reb Meir on the hot water. So on the hot water, we have two against one. That's why we'll follow that opinion on the hot water. On the cold water, Reb Yehuda agrees with Reb Shimon. So we have two against one on the cold water. And that's why we'll follow Reb Yehuda's opinion on the cold water. Because he makes a roif, his position represents a roif. Therefore, Tosfos explains that even though we're now saying halacha kedivrei machriya, we also find in Shas a rule that says ein das shlishis machras. Sometimes the third opinion is not the opinion we follow. Which, if you look at that statement at face value, it seems to be contradictory to what we're learning today. But Tosfos explains, if the explanation of a machriya is that you have two shita, you have the third shita always is going to end up being the roif. What's going to be if the third shita is not just taking some of what the other two shitas are saying, but he comes up with an entirely new third shita, so then his shita is not any more prevalent than the other two shitas, and therefore it's not considered a machriya that we should follow. Tosfos says another pshat, and what pshat ein dash lishis machras, that if it refers not to a third opinion, but refers to a third generation. That if the Tanoim who are disagreeing are in the same generation, or one generation after the other, so their opinions could all be combined, and now we start deciding whose opinion will follow. But if you'll have a Tana who comes ready from a third generation, so there's too much of a lapse of time between these machloikas, that should be considered a machriya. So now we're saying that halacha kedivrei machriya, the halacha is always like the machriya, which Rabbi Yehuda is in our shita. Chutz, there's one exception, the kolim atlonius. That's a gemara that we learned in Daf Chav Tes. The gemara discussed there that rags, since they're designated to be discarded, are not mekabel tumah. And then, if you recall, we learned there a shaila, a machlokes between Rabbi Luz and Rabbi Yeshua. What does it take to make something that's considered a rag no longer a rag? We spoke about something hung up on a peg. We spoke about something hung up on behind the door. Sha'apish Rabbi Lezer Machmer. Rabbi Lezer, in all those shittas, was Machmer, said that as soon as I show any designation, it means I want to use the rag. Rabbi Shua Maker, Rabbi Shua is very Maker. Rabbi Kiva Machri, Rabbi Kiva was right in the middle. There, ain't halacha gedivrei Machriya. The halacha is not like Rabbi Kiva, who has the Machriya, for two reasons. Chada, the Rabbi Kiva Talmud, who? Rabbi Kiva is a Talmud, and a Talmud cannot be a Machriya in the place of his Rebbe's. For Oid, and another reason, Chada bei Rabbi Kiva legabei Rabbi Shua. Ultimately, Rabbi Kiva agreed with Rabbi Yeshua. That's why he's not considered anymore Machriya. Ask the Gemara. V'imachlalamai. Okay. We never heard you say beferish that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is clearly a Machriya. And we're saying now that the Halacha is always Kedivrei Machriya. So what's the difference if they heard beferish that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, or they only heard it because they said Halacha Kedivrei Machriya and Rabbi Yehuda is a Machriya? Answers the Gemara, because Dilma, I would perhaps say that when do I follow a Machriya? Hani Mili B'Masnissen, in a Machloikis, which is in a Mishnah. Ava B'Braisa, but in a Machloikis, which is in a Braisa, which is our case, the Machlokes from Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon is in a Braisa, Loi. Perhaps over there we do not follow the Machriya. And that's why, if only reason you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda is because of the rule Allah Kedivrei Machriya, we may not be able to pass in that way. So he says, Omalei. So he answered him, no, Ana Beferish Milei. I heard explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfos points out, saying that Allah Kedivrei Machriya is only in a Mishnah, not in a Braisa, is somewhat difficult to understand. First of all, why would I want to differentiate between a Mishnah and a Braisa? And furthermore, when we say Halacha Kedivrei Machriya, when we have that klal, the klal is Halacha Kedivrei Machriya. It doesn't say that it has to be specifically a Mishnah. So Tosfos answers, of course the Halacha is Kedivrei Machriya, not only in a Mishnah, even in a Braisa also. But here we have an interesting phenomena, because yesterday we explained that our Mishnah follows Rav Shimon's opinion, and our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. So we have two, and we know that Halacha is always like a Stam Mishnah. So on one hand we have Rabbi Yehuda being the Machriya, and we have a rule Halacha Kedivrei Machriya. On the other hand we have the Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon. That's why our Gemara is saying that we can't rely on the rule of Halacha Kedivrei Machriya, because we have a Stam Mishnah saying otherwise. But in a case where I will not have a Stam Mishnah saying otherwise, even in a Braisa, many Rishonim say, I will follow a Machriya. Itma. So now the Gemara begins. Chamin Shehuchma Be'erev Shabbos. Water that was heated up before Shabbos. Rav Amar. Rav says, L'mocha Reichetz Ben Kol Gufay Eivav Eivav. On Shabbos, you could wash your entire body one limb at a time. V'shmul Amar. And Shmuel says, L'yotira Lirchaitz. There is no heta to wash yourself even with water that was prepared from before Shabbos. El upon of Yod V'raglev, only his face, his hands, and his feet. And the Mefarshim explain the why only his hand upon Yod V'raglev, because we don't want to go into a merchatz, we don't want him to go to a bathhouse, as we will learn later in the sugya today, where there's a concern that the water was heated up on Shabbos, and other concerns. So if we only allow him to wash upon of Yod V'raglev, which everybody has a sink at home to do it with, we're not worried he's going to go to a merchatz. If, however, we allow him to do more, there is a concern that he may take advantage. Now, there's a very fundamental shaila in Rishonim. When Shmuel says, pun of Yod V'raglev, which, as we will learn in the Gemara, is the halacha, does he mean dafka pun of Yod V'raglev and nothing else? Or does he mean that we don't want you to wash most of your body, but it doesn't dafka mean these three organs, these three avarim, and nothing else? Many Rishonim say that it does not mean dafka pun of Yod V'raglev. However, the Bi'alocha says that it means dafkapon v'yod v'raglov, and the reason is because, as we learned yesterday, there's a concept of dovah shovel chol nefesh. We allow some, we're more makel in something that everybody needs. Pon v'yod v'raglov, washing them, everybody washes. So that's why chazal were makel. When you start with other parts of the body, not everybody requires them to be washed, and chazal were not makel. Another reason is, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, a person is supposed to wash his face, pan of Yodov, every day, l'chvoit kainai, in honor of Hashem. That's why we're making on pan of Yodov, but not on the other Avrim. However, the Torah brings down a raya, the Beis Yosef, that it may not be dafka pan of Yodov raglov, because the halach is, if a woman has to begin her Zayin Nikiyim Shabbos, Matzai Shabbos, or Shabbos afternoon, she is allowed to wash her private parts with warm water, even though they're not part of Yad V'Raglof. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei. The Gemara asks a question of Rav. It says in a Braisa, Cham and Shochem Merv Shabbos, hot water that was heated before Shabbos, L'mocha Roich, it's been part of Yad V'Raglof. The only letter washed on Shabbos, Pan of Yad V'Raglof, of a loy called Gufoy, not his entire body, to you after the Rav, that said you're allowed to wash your whole body. Omelach Rav, so Rav answers, what does the Braisa mean? Loikal gufa bas achas, but the Braisa teaches us, don't wash your whole body in one time. What you have to do, aver, one limb at a time. Ask the Gemara, but the Braisa says, v'pon v'yod v'raglov k'toni. It's mashma dafka pon v'yod v'raglov. Answers the Gemara, what does the Braisa mean when it says pon v'yod v'raglov? Ke'ein pon v'yod v'raglov. That you can wash as you wash pan of Yad V'Raglav, which you wash each one separately, so too you may wash other Avrim, provided you do each one separately. Tashma, another Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Le'etir l'irchot b'cham shuchem yar Shabbos, we're not permitted to wash with cham and that got warmed up from Erev Shabbos, el pan of Yad V'Raglav. So it says, again, only pan of Yad V'Raglav. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, I'll give you the same teretz. When it says pan of Yad V'Raglav, it means ain't pan of Yad V'Raglav, each aver individually. But Rab will say it does not mean strictly pan of Yad V'Raglav. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasa de Shmuel, but now we have a Braisa that says with fairest speech like Shmuel, Cham and Shulchan Erev Shabbos, water that got heated up from Erev Shabbos, L'morecha Aroich spent pan of Yad V'Raglav, the next on Shabbos you may wash pan of Yad V'Raglav, Ava Loi Kol Gufoi, not his whole body, aver, even if you're doing one limb at a time. It's obvious the water got warmed up on Yontif certainly may not be used. So this Braisa says beferish like Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Rav Masn Lola Hoshmatz the Rav Bahai Lishna. Rav's version of Rav was different. He said Cham Shochem Erev Shabbos, that according to Rav, water that was warmed up from before Shabbos, Lemocha Omer Rav, the next day Rav says Roich Ben Bahal Gufoy, you're allowed to wash your entire body, and even in one shot, provided the Meshayer Ever Echad. He leaves one limb unwashed. Esvik Kol Hanet Tiyufta. Now we ask again all these questions. And now, as Rashi points out, even the first prices are difficult. Before, in the previous version of Rav, we were able to answer that when the Braisa said pan of Yod V'Raglav, Rav said it means ke'ein pan of Yod V'Raglav, each one separately. Now, I can no longer say that. And therefore, Tiyufta, Rav's position is refuted. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yosef L'Abaya. So Rav Yosef said to Abaya, Rava, Kavik Kishmasa the Rav, did Rava follow Rav's teaching? Omalei, so he said to him, Lo Yadana. I don't know. Ask the Gemara, Maita Baile. What's the question? Pshit the Lo Yavid. It's obvious that Rava could not have done like Rav. They taisa, because we just finished learning Gemara, where Rav's position was refuted. Says the Gemara, Lo Shmilei. Rava did not hear this refutation, and since he did not hear it, he asked if we have a question, what did he do? So asked the Gemara, on the other hand, if Rava did not know the Rav's position was refuted, Vila Shmile, if he did not hear Rav's position, Vadi Ovid, he certainly did as Rav practice. Bamar Abaya, because Abaya said, Kol Mila Damar, Rava always acted k'Rav, in accordance with Rav. And Abaya, as we learned earlier, was such a expert in knowing how Rabba acted, because as we learned, Abaya was raised by Rabba, by Nachmeni. Bam Hanitlos, besides these three things, Davak Shmuel, we acted like Shmuel. What are they? One, we learned the Gemara in Daf Chapez. Matilim Ebeged Lebeged, you're allowed to take tzitzis from an old beged, from an old garment and put it into a new garment. Matlikim Ener Lener, you could take Chanukah candles, Chanukah lights from one Chanukah candle to the next. Valok Rav Shimon Gerera, and we follow Rav Shimon in the matter of dragging furniture on Shabbos. We, even though I may create a furrow in the ground, which is also because of Chayrish, since Rav Shimon is the man that holds Dovashay and Meskavin, if you don't intend to do something, it's mutter. Here, since he did not intend to make the hole, it's mutter. So the question is, if Rava was not aware that Rav's Shita was refuted, and there are only three times that Rav didn't act like Rav, it's obvious that he acted like Rav in this situation, answers the Gemara, Kachumri the Rav Ovid. Abaya only meant the Rava always acted like Rav by Chumris. Kekula, the Rav of it, but he did not necessarily always follow Rav's lenient opinions. Here, Rav is a Mekel, because he's letting you wash your entire body, either just do it aver, or do it just minus one aver. So maybe when Rav acted like Rav, it wasn't by Kulis. That's why he wanted to know what Rabba did. The halacha is that you're not like Shmuel, that you're not allowed to wash yourself with water, take a bath with water that was, even though it was heated from before Shabbos, only Panav Yad V'Raglav. That means even if you have the hot water available to you, you could only do Panav Yad V'Raglav. And the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't even take a bath with cold water because of a problem of Schita that it could come to squeeze the towel or squeeze your hair. Tan Rabban. We learned in a brisa, merchatz shapakaku nekava merv Shabbos, a bathhouse whose vents were closed before Shabbos. The way their bathhouses were heated, they had fire burning in the basement, which generated heat that was channeled into the bathhouse through vents in the floor. Says the Gemara that if the vents were closed before Shabbos, the bathhouses were therefore not heated further on Shabbos, and you can go take a bath in that bathhouse, of course not on Shabbos, we just learned you're not allowed to take a bath on Shabbos. However, on Matzah Shabbos, Reuchas Ben Miyad, somebody could take a bath immediately. Why? Even though the halacha normally is that you're not allowed to have hanor from something that was done on Shabbos, so if the bathhouse were heated on Shabbos, it would be usur to take a bath on Shabbos until you waited Matzah Shabbos Chodesh Yasa, enough time for the water to get heated up. Here, since the vents were closed up, therefore we're maker that you could take a bath right away Matzah Shabbos. And the Ran explains that why do we have this rule? Because truthfully, we should maybe be machmer and not let you take a bath even Matzah Shabbos, because people that see you take a bath immediately in Matzah Shabbos may think that the water that you're using for this Matzah Shabbos bath got heated up on Shabbos. And that's why the Gemara is saying, since if you close up the vents, we're not going to make this Gzeira. But if you didn't close up the vents, which is something you ought to have done, we make you wait Matzah Shabbos b'chdei shiyatza. Similarly, Paka the Kavamer of Yontif, if the vents were closed before Yontif, the next day on Yontif, someone could go in and take a steam bath, and then Yoytze Mishnatav Beitz Achitzon, and he goes out and rinses himself in the outer chamber of the bathhouse. This is, at this point of the Gemara, won't be the Maskon of the Gemara. Amr Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'isav Merchas Shal B'nei Barak, there was a store in the bathhouse of B'nei Barak, Shepakakun the Kav Merv Yontif, whose vents were closed before Yontif. Lamacha Nechnas Rabbi Lezban Azariah Rabbi Kiva Vaziboy, and the next day Rabbi Lezban Azariah Rabbi Kiva went in there, took a steam bath in it, V'yotsu V'nishtat V'Besachitzen, and then they went out and rinsed in the outer chamber, El Shecham and Shaloi M'chupim V'nasarim. However, the tub of water had been covered with boards. Kishaba Adolf Nechachamim Amru, and when this came before the Chachamim, they said, Apish Ein Chamim Shaloi M'chupim V'nasarim, even, it would have been permitted even if the tub of hot water was not covered with boards. And Rashi explains, why did they cover it with boards? So, because they wanted to make sure that nobody should think there was any water heated up in this room on Shabbos. Now, Tosfos asks a very obvious question. We began today's shiur that we paskin that on Shabbos, Yontif, you're not allowed to wash yourself, lo yishtatif. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to wash yourself with hot water. So how could these people, and one of them actually was Rabbi Yehuda, how could they do differently? So Taisha says that maybe this story took place on Yontif, and when are we passing like Rabbi Yehuda? On Shabbos. But it's a difficult teretz. The Masha asks on it. It seems, first of all, it's not sure that this story took place on Yontif. It might have taken place on Shabbos. And it seems that Shabbos and Yontif will have the same din. Therefore, Taisha says that what happened over here was that it was, they used taka cold water, not hot water. Continues the Braisa. Vishrava Ibra Aveira, when there was a proliferation of people who did Averis, Hischilo Eser, they asked steam bathing. However, Ambitoy Shakrochim, the public bathhouses in the large cities, Matayal Behem, you're allowed to stroll through them, and Chayshish, and no, you don't have to worry that people will suspect you of steam bathing. And why are you walking through it? So Mepharshim explained, in those times the bathhouses were beautiful large buildings and people might have just wanted to walk through, stroll them to enjoy what they look like. So the Braisa, the Gemara explains the Braisa. My Ivra Avera, what does it mean Ivra Avera? Dorim Mishum HaPazi, Yorim Mishum HaLevi, Mishum HaKaporo. Betchila Yoroichtim B'cham Tshuch Me'erev Shabbos. Originally people would take baths on Shabbos and hot water that had heated before Shabbos. Hischilu HaBalonim L'hochim B'Shabbos. But what happened was, the bathhouse attendants began heating the baths on Shabbos for Omrim, and they said, Me'erev Shabbos Chachmu, that this water was heated up before Shabbos. So the Rashba brings a Yerushalmi that asks, it's very obvious in our Gemara that we're never going to accuse a person of being over the Raisa. That a person did a Malacha the Raisa, and he's going to try to say that I didn't do it. So here, heating up water on Shabbos is a deraisa. So why are we accusing people of doing that? So the Rashba explains that what would happen really was nobody, we're not accusing them of actually heating up water on Shabbos. But we're concerned that they would prepare fires with a lot of fuel under the bathhouse before Shabbos, and then they would leave the bathhouse vents open, so that the baths would be automatically heated in Shabbos. And that was also something that we learned Chazal Asard, especially because of the concern of Shem Yechata, they may stoke that fire to keep it going. The Pnei Yeshua says a different teretz. Pnei Yeshua says that of course we're not going to accuse Jewish bathhouse attendants of heating up the fire. Who we're accusing is that they might have asked Goyim to do it, and you're not allowed to ask a guy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. And what's pshat mishraba over avera? Goyim don't do an avera if they heat fire on Shabbos. Mishraba over avera were that the Jews, there were a lot of over avera Jews asking goyim to do it, which is a derabbanan, and that's why people will be lax in it. Also, sachamim, so Chazal asked for taking a bath and hot water on Shabbos, v'tira sazeya, but they allowed them to take a steam bath. But what happened was people were still bathing themselves in hot water. For Omrim, what they used to say was, Mazim anachnu, we're only taking a steam bath. Asun lanas azeya. So they even asserted steam bathing. But they still allow bathing in chamit tveria. Why? Because as we learned yesterday, Chami Tverius told us a Chama, not told us a Or. But what they did was they used to take baths and water was heated up by fire before Shabbos. And they used to say that we washed ourselves in Chami Tverius. Oslan Chami Tverius, so they prohibited Chami Tverius. But they prohibited cold water. Roya, Rov, I have Chazal Sosh, Ein Adav Oymed Lahem, that this is a Gzeira, Shein Rov at Sibur, Yechoylem Lamed Boy, that people couldn't stand with this, and it Tiroloi Chamit Tveria, so they once again allowed Chamit Tveria, Vzeya, however, the Isser, the prohibition against taking stand bath on Shabbos, Bekoimai, Amedis, it remains in its place. Omer Rova, so Rova says, Hai Man Da Ova Ad Rabbonin, somebody who violates even at Rabbanan, Shari L'mikrulei Avariana, we're allowed to call him a sinner. Command, according to whom does this go? Says the Gemara, Kai Tana. It's like this Tana. We said that the people who oived Rabbanan against bathing in hot water on Shabbos were called sinners, even though taking a bath on Shabbos is only a Rabbanan. However, the Chavetz Chaim says that a person who's oived Rabbanan, that we're allowed to call him an Avarian, is only if the person does this avera b'pirsim in public, and he does it many times. Otherwise, you're not allowed to just immediately label a person an avaryan. Also, it's interesting, the Meretz Chayis points out that the Rambam does not bring down this din of a person who is oiver d'rabbanan, we're allowed to call him an avaryan. And the Meretz Chayis explains the reason is because we learned earlier in this Masechta that every Derabbanan really has a basis in Deraisa, as it says in the Torah, like Sosman Adova Shegidu Lecha Yaman Usmoil. So therefore, the Rambam, it's every Derabbanan is a Deraisa, and there's no need to mention this specifically about somebody being over Derabbanan. We learned in the Braisa that Matar Shel Krochim, the bathhouses of large cities, Matayal Behen, a person could stroll through them, Ve'enechoshes, and he doesn't have to worry the people will say they steam bathed. Amar Rava, so Rava explains, Dafka Krochim, Dafka, the bathhouses of the large cities, of the Kfarim Loi, not the bathhouses in the small towns. My Tama, what's the reason? Kiv in the Zutrin, since they're very small, Nofish of Layu, they have a lot of heat, and since they have a lot of heat, people will, so when you walk through, you automatically will get steamed up, even if that's not your intention, and that's why it's also. Mashenken, a big bathhouse, you will not automatically be steamed up. And that's why many Paiskim say from here that we see that a psik ratio is also even by the Rabbonim. Let's explain that. We spoke earlier that there's a machlokes of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda by Dovish and Miskaven. If you do something, it wasn't your intention, if it's mutter or asr. Rav Shimon says it's mutter, Rabbi Yehuda says it's asr. But even Rav Shimon, who holds that it's mutter, agrees by psik ratio, where what you did is surely going to happen, it's inevitable, it's asr. Here, it's inevitable that you can get steamed up when you walk into the small bathhouse. But it's only a derabbanan. Yet, we're still being machmer because of the psik ratio. Others say that there is no raya because perhaps this is a special new gzeira because of chshad that we don't want people will accuse you of taking a bath in Shabbos. Tan Rabban. So Mar begins. Mischam odin kinegre medura. A person could warm himself in front of a fire. V'yoytze mishtata b'tzoinen. And then he could go out and rinse himself with cold water. However, what he's not allowed to do is do the opposite. First, rinse himself with cold water, and then warm himself up in front of a fire, because he's warming the water that's on him. So, way Tosfos explains, although the water that's on him is merely warmed and not heated enough to be considered cooked, because as we learn later, cooking means yad shaledis. So there's no melacha of bishel here, it's still asr. The reason is that once the water in the person's body is warmed by the fire, and then he stands there next to the flame, he's effectively washing his body with warm water, which we're learning today was Osam Rabbanan, because we don't want a person to come heat up water on Shabbos for Shabbos. Now, the question that the Rishonim ask, what is going to be the halacha? Is this a halacha strictly limited to his whole body, or even part of a body? So many Rishonim say that the Rosh says this, that even somebody who just washes his hands should be careful not to wash them up in front of a fire while they're wet. The Rambam disagrees, and he says that this halacha of warming himself up in front of a fire is only after rinsing the entire body, but not only the hand. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Mechem Adam Aluntus, a person can heat up a towel, or Menichai Abnei Ma'ayim in Shabbos, and put it on his stomach on Shabbos if he has a stomachache. However, Uvvad, as long as Shlo Yovi Kumkim Shemaim Chamim, as long as he doesn't bring a kettle of hot water, V'Yenichai Abnei Ma'ayim in Shabbos, and put it on his stomach on Shabbos, and says the Gemara, this practice of putting a kettle of hot water should not only be osur in Shabbos, but dovez afil b'chol osur, it's even osur during the week with pnei sakana. So Rashi explains, why are you not allowed to put on this pot of hot water on your stomach? Because we're concerned that it may spill out, and you're washing yourself on Shabbos. And as we began the shiur today, Shmuel says that you're only allowed to wash pon of yod of v'ragov on Shabbos, no other part of the body. This is a raya to the shittas that we spoke about earlier that say that when Shmuel said pon of yod v'raglov, he meant only pon of yod v'raglov, because here he's not washing his whole body, the water is only going to spill on his stomach. And yet the Gemara is saying, Rashi explains, that we don't want to let that happen because only pon of yod v'raglov are mutter. Tosfos says two other pshatim in this Gemara. One pshat is, he says, that we're talking that he put the pot on top of the aluntis. He put the pot on top of the towel, and we're concerned that the water from the pot will spill out on the towel, and then you'll squeeze out the towel, and you'll be over schita. Another pshat Tosfos says is that, as we've explained, a person, if he's not a chaylus, certainly if he's not a besakana, is not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos, and putting a kumkum on the stomach on Shabbos is a refuah, and that's why Chazal said that you're not allowed to put it on Shabbos. What's going to be the nafkamina? What's going to be the difference between these pshatim? The difference will be if the kumkum is closed, if the pot is closed. Rashi's concern of spilling out will no longer be relevant because it's closed. The pshat that it may make the towel wet is also no longer relevant because the pot is closed. But if the isser is because of refuah, it makes no difference if the pot is open or closed. Tana Rabbanan. So we learned in a braisa. Maybe Odom Kitim Mayim, a person could bring a pitcher of water, or Menichai Kenegre Medura, and could put it in front of a fire. Says the Gemara, Loi Bishvil Shiachamu, his purpose is not that it should be heated, El Bishvil Shetofik Tzinosan. His purpose is to take the chill off. Now, there's a very big machlokes we show him how to learn this Gemara. Some learn that you have to be careful to make sure to take the pitcher of water away before it gets hot. But you can leave it right next to the flame, as long as you're careful to take it away before it gets hot. Tosfos, and that's the way many Rishonim learn, and that's the way it's, the Shulchan Aruch learns, says you can never put the water so close to the fire to a place where it could theoretically get cooked, even if you're going to be careful to remove it before it gets cooked. When the Gemara says here that you're allowed to put it next to the flame, means put it in such a space that it can never get hot there. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer continues with the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mevia Adam Isha Pach Shel Shemen, a person could bring a flask of oil, or menichasa kenegad medura, and she could put it next to the flame. Loi bishvil shiyavashel, again, not that it, in order that it should be cooked, el bishvil shiyavashel, as long as it should be cooked slightly. It's very interesting. The Mefarshim point out that by water we use the lashon of yichamu, And here we use the lashon of yivashel, of getting cooked. So they say, water can never really doesn't change when you cook it. It only gets warm. So that's why the Gemara used the lashon of bish of chimum, getting hot. Oil changes. Hot oil and cold oil is not the same oil, and that's why we use the lashon bishel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, ish yisachar yad shemen, a woman may shmir her hands, mechamasa kenegad madura, and warm in front of the oil. V'sachar b'nai katan, similarly she could shmir her son with the warmed oil, and she doesn't have to worry about being Michal Shabbos. So now the Gemara begins to analyze the Braisa. Iboiluhu. Shemen mahu l'tanakama. What will be the halacha about shemen according to the Tanakama? Rav of Rav Yosef Darmi Tavaila Teira. Rav and Rav Yosef will say that the Tanakama permits putting oil in front of the fire. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Lisura, the Tanakama is going to be more strict in oil than in going to water. That means he'll forbid putting oil even to take in front of a fire, even to take his chill off. And the Gemara explains. Rav Rav Yosef Amar Tavaila Teira. Rav Rav Yosef that say it's mutter, because they hold shemen, oil, api shiyatz l'dispa, even if you leave it by the fire so long that it'll get cooked to the shear of yatz l'dispa, that the hand goes away, which we'll learn soon is the shear of bishel, it's mutter. Why? Because kusav tanakama holds shemen ein bei mishim bishel. There's no issa bishel on shemen, because he claims that shemen doesn't really change when it's cooked. Vaz Rabbi Yehuda l'meimba, comes along Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara continues to explain the Braisa, shemen yesh b'mishim bishel, that oil is subject to bishel, v'fshera, however, just taking off the chill, loizah bishel, that's not considered bishel. V'asar Gamliel l'meimba, and Gamliel is even more machmer, he holds number one, shemen yesh b'mishim bishel, that there is a issa bishel on shemen, and furthermore, v'fshera yizah bishulay, warming it is actually considered cooking, and that's why he won't allow putting a flask of oil in front of a fire, even if he just wants to take the chill off. He ever will permit, says Rashi, anointing yourself with oil and then standing in front of fire, because since that's not the usual method of warming oil. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar L'Surah. However, Rav Nachman Yitzchak explained that the Tanakama is Machma. He's going to hold shemen by oil, even if you don't warm it up that it should get cooked, you just take off the chill, it's awesome. Why? Because the Tanakam is going to hold kasava shemen yesh b'mishim bishul, that by shemen there is a issa bishul, v'fsheroi zeh bishuloi, and taking the chill off is the cooking. Rabbi Yehuda l'meima. Rabbi Yehuda will disagree with the Tanakama, and he holds of Shera Eloiza Bishulai. Just taking off the chill is not considered bishul, and therefore you're allowed to warm it to the degree of taking off the chill, but not make it hot. Vasar of Shimon Gamliel l'meima, according to Shimon, Shemen Yesh Boi Mishim Bishul, Shemen is considered bishul, v'Shera Eloiza Bishulai, and warming it is the act of cooking it. And therefore, you can't put a flask of oil in front of fire just to take off the chill. Ask the Gemara, but according to Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama, what's the difference between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama? Answers the Gemara, Ikebenayu klach yad. If you'll do it in an unusual manner, Rav Shimon Gamliel will allow that, and like we explained, therefore Rav Shimon will allow somebody to anoint himself and then stand in front of fire, whereas the Tanakama, who does not make such a suggestion, he'll hold that even that is awesome. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, so Yehuda Mishmul says, Halacha, Echad Shem Vechemayim, whether oil or whether water, Yatz Ledesboy, if you heat it up to the degree of Yatz Ledesboy, if you heat it up to the degree of Yatz Ledesboy, also it's considered Bishul, and Yatz Ledesboy, if you heat it up to not that degree, it's Mutter. So, the Rishash asks, isn't that what Rabbi Yehuda just said? So why don't we just say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So he answers, because we wanted to explain what The chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel is not that. The chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel is the next words. V'heichidam yatzla espoy. What is exactly yatzla espoy? Amar Chava. So Rav Chava said, kol shekreisa shaltena nikvas, anything that is so hot that an infant's belly would be scalded by it. So, what is that? So, the earlier Achronim say, if it's so hot, if a liquid is so hot that somebody would not drink it because it's so hot, or if a food is so hot that you wouldn't eat it because it's so hot, that's yatz lettuce. Others want to say a shear, it's so hot that you couldn't put your finger into it. Ramosha says that the shear of yatz lettuce is anywhere between about 110, 120 to 160, always l'chumra. Matters in the shallow when it's a chumra to say it, we won't let you cook something up to yatz lettuce. If it's a chumra to say that you have to cook something that we want it to be at least 160. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it's 45 degrees Celsius. We learned here in the Gemara, the way we explain the Gemara, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that you're not allowed to put something next to the oven, you're not allowed to put something next to the oven in a space where it could get cooked up, even if you're not actually cooking it now. So there's an interesting shaila that I saw. What's going to be the halacha if somebody on Shabbos wants to take out ice cream from the freezer, and the ice cream is very cold, it's frozen, and it's hard to serve, so he wants to thaw it out, and will he be allowed to put that ice cream next to the flame, even though that by putting it next to the flame, he will, if he left it long enough time there, he could actually be cooking the ice cream. And according to the Gemara that we're learning now, you're not allowed to put anything so close to the oven that you could actually end up cooking it. So Rabbi Zitzchok Zelbstein brings from the Mishnah Berurah that the halach is that you're allowed to bring a towel next to an oven to heat it up, even though you could bring a pat or something like that next to the oven, even though they could theoretically melt when they're so close to the oven. And if it would melt, it would be an exhibition. The reason is, since nobody wants the towel to burn, or nobody wants the pat to melt, it would be a dovashem skavin. And certainly a person will also not forget and make sure to take it before it burns. So he explains the same thing about ice cream. Even though we're paskening that we should not put something next to an oven where it could theoretically get cooked, that's on something where cooking will be a positive act. Here, where if your ice cream would melt to such a degree that it could get cooked up, that's certainly not what you're looking for, and therefore it will be mutter. The other question is, we're learning in this perek, starting from the beginning of the perek, that when you're not allowed to put things on a fire or near on a fire because we're concerned of shem yichata b'gecholim. So the question is, how could we allow somebody to put something next to a fire, even though your entire purpose is just to make sure that just to take off the chill, not to cook it, but why are we not concerned of shem yichata b'gecholim? So Mefarshim explained, like according to the way we explained the Gemara, works very well. Since we're saying that you have to make sure not to put it that close to the fire, that it would be in a space that if you put it so close to the fire, it could theoretically get cooked, even if you'll be careful to take it away before it gets cooked. So the fact that you have to remove it somewhat from the fire, that will be the hefsik, that will be the space that will remind you not to do chitui, and that's why it will be mutter.